I want to read just a verse to start with from the prophet Isaiah, and it is on page 838 in the Bible that I'm reading. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 reads, Come now, let us reason together, saith Jehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and hearken, ye shall eat the good of the land. And then I would like to read in the Gospel according to John, on page 1297. 1297, the Gospel according to John, and chapter 19 and verse 30. When therefore Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. Having bowed his head, he delivered up his spirit. The Jews therefore, that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for it was the preparation for the day of that Sabbath was a great day, demanded of Pilate that their legs might be broken and they taken away. Soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first and of the other that had been crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water. He who saw it bears witness, and his witness is true, and he knows that he says true, that ye also may believe. For these things took place, that the scripture might be fulfilled, not a bone of him shall be broken. Again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. We'll just read on, actually. And after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly through fear of the Jews, demanded of Pilate that he might take the body of Jesus. And Pilate allowed it. He came, therefore, and took away the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus also, who at first came to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight, took therefore the body of Jesus and bound it up in linen with the spices, as it is the custom with the Jews to prepare for burial. But there was in the place there where he had been crucified a garden, and in the garden a new tomb which no one had ever been laid. There, therefore, on account of the preparation of the Jews, because the tomb was near, they laid Jesus. And we'll read from Luke 24, page 1263. Luke 24, verse 1. But on the morrow of the Sabbath, very early, indeed, in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the aromatic spices which had been prepared, which they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. When they had entered, they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass, as they were in perplexity about it, that behold, two men suddenly stood by them in shining raiment. As they were filled with fear and bowed their faces to the ground, they said to them, Why seek ye the living one among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you, being yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered up into the hands of sinners, and be crucified, and rise the third day. And they remembered his words. I come here tonight, dear friend, with a message. It's a message from God. And when God sends a message, he doesn't use text or WhatsApp or telephones. He sends a person. Where I read in the prophet Isaiah, God sent a message to the Israelites, and he sent his prophet to give this message. And the message that he gave was, "Come now, let us reason together, saith Jehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." What a message to send to a people that had continually rebelled against God. But you know, dear friend, man is a vessel. Man is a person who has continually and deliberately rebelled against God. And God has pleaded with man. He pleaded with man as he pleaded with the Israelites right through the Old Testament. And he has pleaded with man, you know, to turn from their sinful ways. I take it that all of us here recognize that we are sinners. When we speak about sin, we need to be very, very careful that we are not measuring sin by the standards of man, or our own standards, or even the standards of the law of the land. Sin primarily, dear friend, is against God. And Scripture tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. Doesn't matter if I'm a worse sinner than you are, or anyone else for that matter. All have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in grace, dear friend, God has come out towards the sinner. And he's come out by sending a person into this world to make himself known. And that person, dear friend, was Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, somebody once said to me, "Well, what does it mean, the fullness of time?" Well, I can't really explain God's patience with man for some 4,000 years, you know. I can only marvel at it, actually. But it says, when the fullness of time was come, he sent forth his Son. And what did Jesus come to do? Jesus came to make God known. He came to make the love of God known. What he did when he was here on earth was he went around healing people. He went around speaking to people. He went around preaching to people. Last week in Worthing we read of when the Lord Jesus, at the age of 12, was in the temple and he was answering questions of those learned people. Jesus was here, but Jesus was God manifest in flesh. Never forget that, dear friend, that the man who came to earth was God himself. Was God himself. He took on a bodily form. Why did he do it? I can't really explain it other than to say that God wanted to show his love for man. Because with man in his sin and God in his perfect righteousness, man and his God could never ever come together. But the Lord Jesus came to this earth to make God's love known. He came to be obedient to God. He came to fulfill God's will. And fulfilling God's will required that Jesus should take on the penalty of sin. And that involved him going to Calvary's cross. That involved him being tried in what today might be called a kangaroo court, you know. One of those court judgments where there really wasn't any point having the exercise of the court because the verdict had already been decided. Because they had decided that they needed to crucify Jesus. Why did God allow it? God could have stopped it. Jesus himself could have stopped it. Says he could have called on 12 legions of angels, you know, to have stopped it. When they cried to him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself." One of the people crucified beside him said, "Save thyself and us." Well, that was an impossible task Because if the Lord Jesus had saved himself, he certainly couldn't have saved the man beside him. Jesus had to come and go onto that cross, to hang on that cross, nailed there by wicked hands, nailed there by persons who hated him, but held there by his love for you and for me. Because, dear friend, if the Lord Jesus had come down from that cross, not only would there have been no blessing for those around him, but there wouldn't have been any gospel preaching tonight. Man would have been destined for hell. It's not a place that was prepared for man, but it's where a place where man will find himself if he doesn't repent, you know. Scripture tells us that. But the Lord Jesus came to become the sin bearer. He hung upon that cross. He bore God's judgment on that cross, you know. When there were the 3 hours of darkness, you know, where Jesus suffered alone. The end of the 3 hours, he could say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus bore the penalty. If anyone tries to tell you exactly what went on at that time, it is mere speculation. There's a scene that God saw fit to clothe in darkness, because it was too awful for the inquisitiveness of man. Jesus suffered alone. He bore the penalty of sin. And as we get in this scripture that I read in John, his blood was shed. His blood was shed so that God had a righteous basis to come out towards man and to forgive him. In the old order of things, in the old sacrificial system that they adhered to in the Old Testament times, the sacrificial system was set up as instructed by God, and always in every single sacrifice, the blood was always for God. So when Jesus' blood was shed on Calvary's cross, it showed that Jesus had paid the price of your redemption and mine in full. In full. His blood alone is what cleanses the sinner who will come in repentance to God tonight. His blood alone, dear friend. Often wondered why John is the only gospel writer that records the shedding of Jesus' blood. But I'm jolly thankful he does so. And he tells us why he's recorded it as well. He who saw it bears witness, and his witness is true, and he knows that he says true, that ye also may believe. John saw that blood flow from the side of Jesus. But it wasn't only John that saw it. God saw it as well. You know, when the destroying angel went through Egypt, when the blood of the lamb was supposed to be put upon the doorposts and the lintels of the houses where the Israelites were, says, when I see the blood, I will pass over. That was a wonderful type of the shed blood of Jesus, you know. A wonderful type. It's so precious. It's God that saw the blood of Jesus being shed, and it's God that accepted it as a sacrifice for sin. You wonder what hatred there was that caused this soldier to spear the side of Jesus, don't you? There's a man who'd been hanging on that cross for 6 hours. He was already dead, and something stimulated a soldier to thrust a spear into the side of a dead man. And yet, what happened? Maybe say what ought to have happened is there maybe should have been a bolt of lightning come down and struck that soldier down. No, when man in hatred pierced thy side, thy blood love's answer gave. I read on because it gives a record of Joseph coming along and putting the body of Jesus into a tomb. That was really all I wanted to read that section for, to give the narrative that the body of Jesus was taken down from that cross carefully, bound up, and laid in a tomb. It says somewhere else that it was a new tomb. But then in Luke, we get these women who loved Jesus, and the last thing they had seen was he had been on this cross and been put into this tomb. They got up early to come to the tomb and brought these spices because they felt that that was all they could do. They loved Jesus because they'd known him when he was here. And what did they find? They found that the tomb was empty, the stone had been rolled away, and the tomb was already empty. Why seek ye the living amongst the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Yes, we can give thanks that the Lord Jesus Christ is risen. He's no longer in death. He went into death. He went into the tomb. But he was raised the third day by the glory of the Father and is now seated at his right hand. And as it says here, the Son of Man must be delivered up into the hands of sinners and be crucified. Rise the third day. They remembered his words, returning from the sepulchre, related all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Well, this is a narrative of what happened. For you to gain the blessing of it, and for me to gain the blessing of it, each one of us have to come to God in repentance. We have to accept that we are sinners before a holy and righteous God. And we have to repent of our sins. And we have to accept that Jesus' blood was shed on our account. That's all we are asked to do, dear friend. Don't seek to complicate it by thinking that you can add anything to it. There's also a warning. Don't think that you can bypass it by taking anything away either. This sacrifice that Jesus did was done to God's satisfaction. When I see the blood, I will pass over. God has a righteous basis, you know, to come out to those who are sitting in this room in Pixie tonight. As much as anywhere else, any man who turns in repentance to him. But it's on God's terms, not on our terms. You know, sometimes people think they're going to strike a bargain with God, don't they? We read of a man in the scriptures who decided that he would get into a wedding feast without wearing the garment that he was provided with. Mm. And he was cast out. Dear friend, there's no need for anyone to be cast out tonight. There's no need for anyone to be shut out of God's blessing. There's coming a day when there will be no more gospel preaching. It's coming a day when it says elsewhere that God has set a day that he is going to judge the whole earth in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed. That one is the one who tonight is offered as the Saviour for sinners. Saviour for sinners like you and me. Will you come to him tonight in repentance? Or will you, in your foolish pride, think that you can do better for yourself? Dear friend, I can't promise you another opportunity. No one can. No gospel preacher can. You might say to me, well, that was said from this desk last week. I don't know if it was. It might have been. It probably has been said from this desk hundreds of times. But it's no less true, you know. It's no less true. One day, God will close the day of grace. Today is a well-accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Don't shut your ears to God's offer of mercy and grace tonight. Accept Jesus as your Saviour. If you've done so in the past, accept him again. You surely won't object to being reminded of what Jesus has done to save you. Any true lover of the Lord Jesus would surely delight to remember that that blood was shed on their account. That the Lord Jesus took the penalty that stood out against them. Well, dear friend, I've no more to say. Just to say to you to not miss the opportunity that is given to you tonight. God is speaking. God is speaking here. In this room, there's no point saying, well, I didn't like the preacher or I didn't like what he said. God is speaking to you. God would seek to speak to your heart tonight. And God requires an answer from your heart tonight. Is it going to be acceptance? Or is it going to be rejection? If you say, oh well, I'll leave it till another day, that's the same thing as rejection. You might not be given another opportunity. It speaks about those who rejected God and his offers as finding their place in the lake of fire. As I said, it wasn't a place that was prepared for man. It was a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. Man doesn't belong here, but some men will find their place there. Yeah. Let it be anyone here tonight that find their place there. Yeah. Well, may the Lord bless the word for his name's sake.
Amen.